Jaya Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivar Kishore Nandana Braj Jana Rangana Kishore Nandana Braj Jana Rangana Yamuna Tira Banasari Yamuna Tira Vanachari Jayo Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari Kunja Bihari Jai Om Vishnu Pada Paramahansa Vaivrajika Acharya Stotarstu Shri Srimadista Vangri Sisi Bhakti Vedanta Swami Prabhupada Ki Jai Tantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai Nitai go premanande, Hari go, Samaveta Bhakta Vrinda ki jai. All grace to the assembled devotees. All grace to the assembled devotees. All grace to the assembled devotees. All grace to Sri Sri Guru Gauranga. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 8, Prayers by Queen Kunti, Texts 8 through 10. Text 8, word meanings. Gantum, just desiring to start. Kritamati, having decided. Brahman, O Brahmana. Dwarakam, towards Dwaraka. Ratham, on the chariot. Astita, seated. Upalabhe, saw. Abhidhavantin, coming hurriedly. Uttaram, Uttara, Bhaya Viholam, being afraid. Gantum Krita Matir Brahman,
Gantum Krita Matir Brahman,
Dwarakam Ratam Astita,
Dwarakam Ratam Astita,
Upalebe Pitavantim, Uttaram Bhaya Vivalam
Uttaram Bhaya Vivalam
Gantum Krita Matir Brahman
Gantum Krita Matir Brahman
Dwarakam Ratam Astita
Dwarakam Ratam Astita
Upalebe Vidhavantim
Upalebe Vidhavantim
Uttaram Bhaya Vivalam Gantum Kritamatir Brahman
Dwarakam Ratamastita
Dwarakam Ratamastita
Upalebhe Vidhavantim
Upalebhe Vidhavantim
Uttaram Bhaya Vivalam
Uttaram Bhaya Vivalam
Gantum Kritamatir Brahman
Kamratamastita
Upalebhe Vidahanti Uttaram Bhayavivalam
Gantum Krita Mati Brahman
Dharakam Ratam Astita
Upalebhe
Vidahanti
Uttaram Bhayavivalam
Gantum Krita Mati Brahman
Varakam Ratam
Astita
Upalebhe
Vidhavanti
Uttaram
Bhayavivalam
Gantum Krita Mati Brahman
Varakam
Ratamastita
Upalebhe
Vidhavanti
Uttaram Bhayavivalam.
Translation: as soon as he seated himself on the chariot to start for Dwaraka, he saw Uttara hurrying toward him in fear. Srila Prabhupada's purport. All the members of the family of the Pandavas were completely dependent on the protection of the Lord, and therefore the Lord protected all of them in all circumstances. The Lord protects everyone, but one who depends completely upon him is especially looked after by the Lord. The father is more attentive to the little son who is exclusively dependent on the father. Text 9.
Uttaro vacha pahi pahi mahayogin deva deva jagatpate nanyam tvada bhayam pasye yatra mityu parasparam.
Uttara said, O Lord of Lords, Lord of the universe, you are the greatest of mystics. Please protect me, for there is no one else who can save me from the clutches of death in this world of duality.
Purport: this material world is the world of duality, in contrast to the oneness of the absolute realm. The world of duality is composed of matter and spirit, whereas the absolute world is complete spirit without any tinge of the material qualities. In the dual world, everyone is falsely trying to become the master of the world, whereas in the absolute world, the Lord is the absolute Lord, and all others are his absolute servitors. In the world of duality, everyone is envious of all others, and death is inevitable due to the dual existence of matter and spirit. The Lord is the only shelter of fearlessness for the surrendered soul. One cannot save himself from the cruel hands of death in the material world without having surrendered himself at the lotus feet of the Lord. Text 10.
Abhidravati mamisha sharastatta yaso vibho kamam dahatu mam nata mame garbho nipatyayam.
O my Lord, you are all powerful. A fiery iron arrow is coming towards me fast. My Lord, let it burn me personally, if you so desire. But please do not let it burn and abort my embryo. Please do me this favor, my Lord.
Purport: this incident took place after the death of Abhimanyu, the husband of Uttara. Abhimanyu's widow, Uttara, should have followed the path of her husband, but because she was pregnant and Maharaj Parikshit, a great devotee of the Lord, was lying in embryo, she was responsible for his protection. The mother of a child has a great responsibility in giving all protection to the child, and therefore Uttara was not ashamed to express this frankly before Lord Krishna. Uttara was the daughter of a great king, the wife of a great hero, and student of a great devotee, and later she was the mother of a good king also. She was fortunate in every respect. Om Agyanati Mirandhasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Milta Mena Tasma Shri Gurave Namaha. The narrative of Srimad Bhagavatam, the story, of course, of Krishna, Krishna Lila, really began at the beginning of this chapter after the Battle of Kurukshetra. So we're being introduced to different characters in the story, and this is one of those characters. Uttara, when the Pandavas were in exile, they were last year in exile, they had to remain incognito. So they went to the kingdom of King Virat. And Uttara is the daughter of King Virat. And the brother of Uttara Kumar. You may remember that humorous scene in the Mahabharata where the crews have discovered where the Pandavas are. So they go to attack the kingdom of Virat, and Uttara Kumar, her brother, the prince, he's bragging about how he's going to single-handedly destroy all the Kuru warriors. So he says, but I need a chariot driver, and there's no chariot driver around. So Arjuna says, well, I know a little something about driving chariots. So, of course, Arjuna, what he's disguised as a eunuch. I don't know how he's dressed, like a transvestite or something, I don't know. So he doesn't look like a chariot driver, but of course he is. So he gets on the chariot, Uttara Kumar is going to go fight all the Kurus. So when Uttara Kumar gets out there, he just sees them and he practically faints. He gets so freaked out, he starts running away in fear. And then Arjuna, dressed however he is chasing him around, catching him, dragging him back onto the chariot. Of course, then Arjuna fights. He goes and gets his weapons. Then he fights, and single-handedly he routs the Kurus. So, of course, then there's some controversy about whether or not their exile is actually over. So, in any case, so that was Prince Uttara. And Uttara, the daughter, his sister, she was given in marriage to Abhimanyu, Arjuna's son, the son of Arjuna and Subhadra. So this is Uttara. She's also a great devotee. Here it says here, she was the daughter of a great king, King Virat, the wife of a great hero, Abhimanyu, the student of a great devotee. Now, I don't know what that refers to. I'm not sure what that means. And later, she was the mother of a good king also. So she was the mother of Parikshit Maharaj. So now she's in a bad situation, fearful situation. This Ashwatthama, who's already done such a heinous thing by killing the sons of Draupadi, now he's trying to kill the surviving heir to the throne of the Pandava dynasty. And she runs to Lord Krishna. We have the scene here. Of course, Krishna, you know, Krishna was trying to leave before. He actually, he was just getting ready to leave, but King Yudhishthira asked him to stay. Yudhishthira, of course, was inconsolable after the Battle of Kurukshetra. He felt responsible for the death of so many people. So he asked Krishna to stay, and Krishna stayed for some months. And now Krishna's about to leave again, and there's the whole scene. Everyone is saying their goodbyes, and he gets on his chariot, and he's just ready to go, and then Uttara shows up saying, you know, I'm being attacked by this fiery arrow. So this is about, there's a theme here, of course, is protection. One of the 10 subjects of the Srimad Bhagavatam is protection by the Lord. This is something we discuss often, of course, protection. Prabhupada brings up the point here that the Lord is our only protector, and he's especially protective of the fully surrendered devotee. But a question often arises, But it doesn't seem, we're supposed to have full faith that Krishna will protect us. But sometimes it doesn't seem that he does. So it's a somewhat a nuanced topic. We can discuss some things about it. So I have a few notes here. I'm just going to read, and different points will come up. This, in the verse in the Bhagavatam, it's chapter 10 of the second canto that lists the 10 subjects of the Srimad Bhagavatam. And one of those is called Poshanam. That's the one that's translated as protection. In commenting on that, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says this: in protecting the jivas, the Lord shows his mercy to some, the devotees performing sadhana, even if they are involved in sin by accident. This is the meaning of poshanam. So this is one understanding of what it means to protect the devotee. This same idea is there in the two verses in the ninth chapter of Bhagavad Gita, 9:31 and 32, Sadureva Samantabhya Samyak Vyavasitahisa, and then Kshitram Bhavati Dharmatma Sushwas Chantim Dagachati Kaunteya Pratijani Name Bhakta Pranashyati. So of course the last word is Name Bhakta Pranashyati. Even if a devotee falls down, he's still considered saintly, or if he does something abominable, some sinful act, because he's rightly disposed toward me, because he has me in his heart, then he's still considered sadhu, saintly. And then, of course, Krishna elaborates in the next verse, because he quickly becomes righteous, it's an accident. It's not his real character. And then that's where Krishna says, my devotee never perishes. So sometimes Prabhupada would quote this line talking about what we would consider just ordinary protection, ordinary physical protection. But when you think of it in the context, then it's about, at least in the context of these two verses, it's about protecting the devotee's spiritual life. That's really what it's about. And that's what Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur is talking about in what I just read here when he's describing what poshana means, what protection means. It has to do with the protecting devotee from a fall down from spiritual life. He protects the devotees. Of course, we know that Krishna ultimately protects our spiritual advancement. Whatever spiritual progress we make in life, he protects that even at the time of death. He protects us through that transition so that we still have it in the next life. This also, of course, this idea of protecting what they have, Krishna says, in that verse, ananyas chintayanto mam yejana paripas tesham nityava yuktanam yogakshemam baham yaham. So where Krishna says, if the devotee worships me in pure devotional service, then I devotees who do that, I carry what they lack and preserve what they have. So there the word is kshema. So Prabhupada says something about that in the purport, and along the same idea here, he says, this is verse 9:22, part of the purport. Kshema refers to the merciful protection of the Lord. So the translation is, I carry what they lack and preserve what they have. So preserve would be the protection element of this, these two things. Carry what they have and preserve what they have. So Prabhupada here is referring to it as protection in the purport. Kshema refers to the merciful protection of the Lord. The Lord helps the devotee to achieve Krishna consciousness by yoga, and when he becomes fully Krishna conscious, the Lord protects him from falling down to a miserable condition of life. So this is one way we can understand when Krishna says, I protect you, and we have to have faith that Krishna protects. Now, of course, that idea that we have to have faith in Krishna's protection, that's one of the six principles of surrender. The third one, rakshishyatiti vishvasa. Raksha, of course, raksha means protection. And pahi also means protection. We know we have this prayer, Krishna Keshava Pahi Mam, Rama Raghava, Raksha Mam. So with that Krishna, 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 hey, in that song, which Lord Chaitanya sang, so it's certainly a bona fide song. So the devotee is asking for the Lord's protection. So in commenting on this third line of this verse about the six principles of surrender, rakshishyatiti, Prabhupada, that verse is quoted by Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, or actually maybe Yes, he might have put it into the mouth of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, as he sometimes does. Bhajya 22, verse 100. So Lord Chaitanya would be speaking there, most likely. So in the purport to that verse on the six principles of surrender, so on number three, which is about protection, Rakshishyatiti, Srila Prabhupada writes, a devotee must be firmly convinced that Krishna will give him protection. No one else can actually give one protection, and being firmly convinced of this is called faith. Now, just a little aside here. Srila Prabhupada, often when he would quote this one, he would quote a Bengali line from a song by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. You know, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, of course, he wrote Sharanagati. So Sharanagati is a series of songs about these six principles of surrender. And the one about, the term for protection in that song is Avasya Rakshibe Krishna Vishvasa Palana. So one has to have the faith that Krishna will protect one. So there are four songs I was going to mention. There are four songs by Bhaktivinoda Thakur about protection there. So I'm going to say, I'm just going to give a few words about what those songs are about, but let me continue this purport of Prabhupada, where he says, this kind of faith in Krishna's protection, is different from the faith of an impersonalist who wants to merge into the Brahman effulgence in order to benefit by cessation of repeated birth and death. So the impersonalists also want a kind of protection from suffering by just merging and becoming one with the Lord, the Lord's effulgence. A devotee wants to remain always in the Lord's service. In this way, Krishna is merciful to his devotee and gives him all protection from the dangers found on the path of devotional service. Now this line, I find it to be a little ambiguous. What does Prabhupada mean here? Gives him all protection from the dangers found on the path of devotional service. It sounds like he's talking specifically about, again, fall down from spiritual life. Not that we're practicing devotional service, we might get hit by a car or something. It seems like the idea here is that he's talking about all protection from the dangers found on the path of devotional service. One of those dangers, of course, is become a Mayavadi, become an impersonalist, or become a sense enjoyer. Somehow you give up. So these kinds of dangers, the dangers that can deviate you from the path of devotional service. Now, he may be referring to the other. He could be referring to both of them. It's not exactly clear to me what he's saying here. So in this, Prabhupada also, he says here that the protection is from the service, basically. Would you serve Krishna? Not like the impersonalist who doesn't want to serve Krishna. The devotee thinks, well, just let me serve Krishna, then I'll be protected. And in this context, Prabhupada quotes Lord Brahma, Samashritaye Padapallava Pallavam Mahatpadam Punyasho Murare Bhavambudir Vatsapadam Parampadam Padam Padam Yadvipadam Natesham. So that the idea there is that the material world is a place where there is danger at every step. Everyone knows this phrase, Vipadam. Padam padam yad vipadam. Vipadam means danger. There's danger at every step. But samashritaye padapallava pravam. So the devotees who have natesham, the verse ends, natesham, which means not them. So not who. In other words, who's not in danger at every step? Or who is the person for whom the material world is not a place where there's danger at every step? And that is the person who is samashrita ye padapallava padavam, one who has taken full shelter, samashrita, taken full shelter at the lotus feet of Krishna. That person is not in danger. What the material world, of course, in that verse is compared to an ocean. So it's not the danger. The ocean is a very dangerous place. But when it's shrunk down, as the verse says, to the amount of water in the hoofprint of a calf, then what's the danger there? You just step over it. So that's the idea there, that the devotee is protected by Krishna because he's fully surrendered to Krishna. So going back to this song by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, so he, as I said, he gives four songs. He has written four songs in reference to protection by Krishna. Or the devotee must have faith that Krishna will protect him. This is one of the principles of surrender. Avashya Rakshibe Krishna Vishvasa Palana. Prabhupada quotes this quite often. So these four songs, and the main points that Bhaktivinoda Thakur makes in these songs. In the first one, which is the basic idea of what I was just talking about, how the devotee takes shelter at the lotus feet of Krishna. So then he thinks, what do I have to worry about? Krishna is in charge of everything, controls everything, which is actually the theme of the second song that he writes. He explains in different ways how Krishna is the all-power, powerful, supreme controller. Nothing happens without his sanction. So I should have absolute faith. He's a supreme, powerful person, so I should have absolute faith that he will protect me because I'm serving his lotus feet. Now in the third song, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he talks about protection in the context of the gopas in Vrindavan. And he puts himself in as one of those. I'm one of your gopas, basically, he says. And you protected us when Aghasura was there. You protected us. He mentions it. We were so secure in our conviction about your protection that we walked right into the water, the poisonous Kaliya lake. And in so many ways, you have protected us. So that's the theme of the third song, is Krishna protecting the gopas. And in the last song, he imagines, I'll put that in quotation marks, himself as a gopi, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, or assistant to a gopi, actually, he says. So he talks about, now I'm assistant to this gopi, and this gopi serves Krishna, and I have a service. My service is preparing flower garlands and other things, and I prepare the garland, and I give it to this gopi, this sukhi, and she gives it to Radha and Krishna. And because I'm her servant, I'm always protected by her, actually. She's connected to Krishna, Radha Krishna, and because I'm under her shelter, therefore I'm always protected. So this is the way his prayers evolve, these wonderful prayers about always having the conviction that the Lord will protect one. Now sometimes a question comes up, should a devotee ask for the Lord's protection? Because isn't that, especially when the devotee is in a fearful situation. Now here we see with Uttara, actually this comes up in Prabhupada's purport, and also Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur asks about this, or mentions this about, well, is she just, you know, is this a material thing? Is she trying to get some material protection for herself? But actually, as Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, she says, actually let this fiery weapon burn me. That's all right, but protect the embryo. Protect the child within my womb. So in that sense, you could say she's not acting out of fear for her own physical well-being. But sometimes that situation is there, where the devotee just calls out for protection to the Lord, and you think, well, devotee's supposed to be transcendental to this body. Why should the devotee ask for physical protection? So in the story, in Gajendra's prayers, of course, this is exactly what happened. Gajendra is glorified as a great devotee of the Lord, but he was in a very bad situation. That fight went on, I think it's 100 years. It's either 100 or 1,000. It's one of these, really, you know, take, wow, fighting that long, no matter. It took him a long time, he would say, to finally call out. But then he did offer his prayers, ultimately, to the Lord for protection. And in Prabhupada's purport, now this is one of his verses. This is, I mean, from the first time I read this, it always kind of stuck in my mind, this point here, this beat that Prabhupada brings up. But this is the prayer, part of one of the prayers, 8, 3, 20, and 21. Unalloyed devotees who have no desire other than to serve the Lord, worship him in full surrender, and always hear and chant about his activities, which are most wonderful and auspicious. Thus they always merge in an ocean of transcendental bliss. Such devotees never ask the Lord for any benediction. So this is Gajendra who's saying this. I, however, am in danger. Therefore I pray to that supreme personality of Godhead. There's a little more to the verse. But. So in the purport, Prabhupada says, it's part of the purport, unalloyed devotees have nothing to ask from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But Gajendra, the king of the elephants, was circumstantially asking for an immediate benediction because he had no other way to be rescued. Sometimes when there is no alternative, a pure devotee being fully dependent on the mercy of the Supreme Lord prays for some benediction. But in such a prayer there is also regret. Prabhupada says. So he doesn't elaborate on it. As far as I know, this is the only place I can think of where Prabhupada makes this point, but it's quite an interesting point. The idea is that, what am I supposed to do? I need protection. So naturally, that's the kind of a spontaneous thing. When I was giving class a few verses back, I was talking about the different kinds of devotional service, karma, mishra, bhakti, and bhakti, mishra, karma, these kinds of things. So pure bhakti means there's no karma, desire for material benefit. So the question arises, what about like someone like Draupadi? So this comes up in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, and Rupa Goswami explains it. This is just a spontaneous calling out to the Lord, because the devotee has the Lord. Where else is the devotee going to turn? So that it's considered to be okay, you might say. But still the devotee, just like here, Gajendra, he says, I know devotees don't ask for anything, but you know, what am I going to do? I'm in trouble here. Lord, please help me. So this is considered to be somehow the devotee's pure devotional service consumes or subsumes this. You might say it's a little bit of a tinge of material desire in some sense, but it's really not. In an ocean of devotion, there's nothing wrong with it, and it's spontaneous, so it's fine. It's okay for the devotee to ask for the Lord's protection. And of course, as we're actually taught to do that. And I think, you know, as we go on in Krishna consciousness, I think most of us can say we probably just spontaneously do it. If there's some problem, we're faced with some, we just start chanting naturally. We call out the Nrisimhadev. Had an experience just not too long ago where I was walking down the road and a couple of dogs came after me really aggressively. I mean, I was scared. I realized, I was thinking, oh, this is how I'm going to die, you know, being mauled by dogs, my throat eaten out. And I was actually really scared. And I just stood there. I didn't really know what to do. I was looking for a big stick or something. And some people drove by in a car. Then they just went on. But then they came back, actually. And they said, when we first drove by, we thought maybe they were your dogs. But then we thought, the man said, I told my wife, I think maybe he's in trouble. So they came back and they actually picked me up and took me, you know, away from the dogs, so I was saved. So, of course, what was I doing? I was chanting Hare Krishna, praying to Lord Nrisimhadev like anything. I'll tell you another instance of this. Some years ago, I broke my wrist. And it was broken pretty bad. I had to get surgery on it. So they had to put a plate in it, keep it in place for a while. So I had to have actual surgery, and I had to go under anesthesia. So when I was coming out of the anesthesia, I was having a really hard time. It was really a traumatic experience, actually. It was sort of like, because I kept fainting over and over again. It was like dying repeatedly. It was really. So every time I would sort of come to consciousness, I would start chanting. So I kept doing this. And then the nurse, or something, they were trying to revive me. The nurse turned to my wife and said, does he speak English? So anyway, the point is, I think as devotees, naturally, we what are we going to do? Right? We're in trouble. We're going to call out to Krishna. So, of course, part of this is, you know, we're supposed to have full faith that Krishna will protect me. But I think it's natural, at least for me, I think, well, that's all right for Prahlad Maharaj, but is he going to protect me? Yeah, I'm not Prahlad Maharaj. And of course, Prabhupada does say here in the purport that he especially gives protection to those who are fully surrendered unto him. So if we don't want to be in anxiety whether Krishna will actually protect me, then we have to be fully surrendered to Krishna. Then we can be assured of that. So just maybe a couple of other things. In regard to protection, there's Prahlad Maharaj's verse, Balasyaneya Sharanam Pitaro Narsingha, where I'll just read the translation to it. My Lord Nrisimhadev, O Supreme, because of a bodily conception of life, embodied souls neglected and not cared for by you cannot do anything for their betterment. Whatever remedies they accept, although perhaps temporarily beneficial, are certainly impermanent. For example, a father and mother cannot protect their child, a physician in medicine cannot relieve a suffering patient, and a boat on the ocean cannot protect a drowning man. So, of course, the idea here is that if you can make all kinds of... I'll just read what Prabhupada said. This is part of the purport. Unless one is protected by the mercy of the Lord, no remedial measure can act effectively. So these three examples, parents can't protect the child, doctor can't protect the patient, and a boat can't protect you in the ocean necessarily. One should consequently depend fully on the causeless mercy of the Lord. Although as a matter of routine duty, one must, of course, accept other remedial measures. No one can protect one who is neglected by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So here Prabhupada is making a practical point. Just like if you're sick, then you don't say, well, Krishna will cure me. No, you can do something about it. Of course, Prabhupada himself, he did something about it. But ultimately, the cure, getting well, is up to Krishna. If Krishna wants to cure you, that Mare Krishna Rake Ke, Rake Krishna Mare Ke, this little saying, I don't think it's a sloka, I think it's just a saying. So if Krishna wants to kill you, who can protect you? And if Krishna wants to save you, who can kill you? So it's up to Krishna what happens. It's all ultimately under his choice. Excellent. Of course, but then he does say to devotees, I will protect you, take shelter under my feet. So the only one more thing I was just going to mention, this from the song of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Manasa Deho Geho Yogi Chumar, where he says, I give everything to you, dear Lord, my mind, my body, everything. Marobi Rakobi Jo Icha Tohar Nitya Dasa Prati Tua Adhikar. So he also says, you can kill me or you can protect me. Jo Icha Tohar, that's your prerogative, according to your desire, because I'm just surrendered. I'm just surrendered unto you, so you can do with me as you like. That, of course, is a very high stage to actually have that emotion, or the spiritual emotion, that bhava, that Krishna can do with me as he likes. And if I'm suffering, then that's Krishna's mercy. That's up to him to do, to the devotee. So then we can see how this is, you think, well, how am I supposed to think exactly about these things? So the safest thing is to ask for Krishna's protection, especially in our state. We need some protection. If we don't ask for Krishna's protection, we're going to ask for somebody else's protection. Huh? The fallible soldiers. We're going to look for protection from fallible soldiers. Prabhupada also makes this point in relation to this topic. That if we don't search for Krishna's, ask for Krishna's protection, and of course that's what we do, really, in so many different ways. Protection or maintenance, these two are very closely, of course, both of them are there in the six principles of surrender. Krishna is my protector and Krishna is my maintainer. And Prabhupada also, he sometimes conflates the two, you might say. He uses the two interchangeably. He'll talk about protection and he'll talk about maintenance in the same breath, as if they're the same thing, because in some sense they are. The parents protect the child by maintaining the child. So Krishna maintains us and he protects us physically and spiritually because he's our protector and our guardian. All right, I'll stop here.
I have a... it's not exactly a question, but it's also a kind. I want some feedback from you. Because recently I was studying Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's commentary on Annavilasita Swinnam and Jiva Goswami Pad's commentary. So the word Ita, Annavilas, Ita.
Yeah.
So, like these devotees in Africa, when the bad guy, just crazy people attack, and one Mataji jumped in front many years back in Ishkan.
Yes.
Temple.
Yeah.
And so I was talking to Radhanath Maharaj. I said, oh, okay, but those guys already killed them, including that Mataji. So how to understand that Krishna is protecting? So he said, I'm paraphrasing, but what I understood was he said the spirit that they want to serve and protect the temple is never lost. Krishna is maintaining 100% and he will reward because they serve. But maybe physically, those people also wanted to see something so Krishna fulfilled their desire. But actually, it's a very mystical. Only advanced devotee can understand that protection. So like for an example, King Parikshit, we know that Krishna protected King Parikshit in the womb of Mother Uttara. But when he got cursed, I thought about it a lot, because when he got cars, Krishna could have said, okay, no more cars effect. But he didn't. He didn't do anything, looks like. Because Bhagavatam has to manifest for the welfare of the whole world. So his protection not necessarily what I expect Krishna to do my way of protection.
Yeah.
Is that proper or?
Yes, we don't. We have to understand, it's more about the mood actually than the intellectual understanding. We just have to have the mood that whatever Krishna is doing in relationship to me is for my protection. So that may mean sometimes that he's going to physically protect me, but at other times it may mean something else. Because naturally, because I know devotees, in fact we've had a class, I remember someone giving examples, asked all the devotees to give examples about how they were protected at some point. And devotees gave examples of, well, like the one I did with the dogs, you might say that I was protected physically. So, but then the question arises, well, but it doesn't always appear that that happens, that Krishna, just like devotees are killed, devotees are assaulted. Look what happened in the Soviet Union, so many devotees put in prison and tortured and all of these things. So you think, well, how am I supposed to believe that Krishna protects? But you still have to have this mood. Krishna will protect, because if Krishna doesn't protect me, then nobody will protect me. And it just means that Krishna wants something else for me in this particular situation. He's giving me his protection in some other way. That has to be our conviction. Vishvasapalana. That seems to be the solution. Otherwise, you can say, well, why should I believe Krishna protects when he doesn't? You know, you don't want to have that mood. You may see by the evidence, empirical evidence, that Krishna doesn't always protect his devotees physically. And then you hold back. Well, that shouldn't be the reaction. It has to be. It reminds me of the kind of thing where sometimes devotees would ask Prabhupada questions and he didn't like the question because it kind of made Krishna look bad or something, you know. So that's the kind of thing where, no, Krishna, don't doubt whether Krishna will protect you. Just have that faith. That's what we're told. Have that faith that Krishna will protect you. Then what happens is up to Krishna. But have that faith. That's what's important, is to have that faith. That's more important than what happens. In fact, Prabhupada says that's the beginning of spiritual life. He says he kind of implies it in the purport that I read from the Bhajalila, and he spells it out more in other places. That this is the beginning of Shraddha, to have this faith. Ado Shraddha, Tatu Sadhu Sangha. Of course, it deepens over time. But to have this basic faith that I'm going to surrender to Krishna, so now it's up to him what happens to me. It's in his hands.
There are some comments. You want to take this or you want to take the comments?
I think, Madhumati, you had something?
As far as the conversation going on right now, I was thinking one way to understand is the child. No matter, you know, the child has faith in the parents. Mm-hmm. And no matter how the parents may treat the child, it's just, you know, spank them or whatever, you know, but it's just the child just has that innocent faith in the parent. And I guess that's what we need to develop.
Yeah, their spontaneous reaction to trouble is to go turn to the parent for help.
Yeah. Question was Apichet Sudaracharo. A devotee is there, like he has performed some sinful act, and then is it some material sinful act? And Chipram Bhavati Dharmatma, then he becomes free of the material sinful act that he has done. What is the fall down, like a devotee falls down? What does that mean anyway, that a devotee falls down? What, he's forgetful of Krishna, or he's making some material simple activity? What does that actually mean? And
well, that verse is quite a big topic, actually. I gave a class on that verse one time. And quoting from commentaries of different acharyas, especially Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. Even Prabhupada's commentary, his purport, he takes it from different angles. He starts talking, his purport begins by talking about a devotee may do something that's socially unacceptable. Mm-hmm. And you think, well, what's wrong with that? Isn't that, it doesn't seem to be a big deal. But then, often Prabhupada would say, it's about accidental fall down. And a temporary accidental fall down, he would say. And of course, the example he gave is sometimes you used to smoke and you're walking with a friend and the friend says, you want to puff on my cigarette, you take it puffed, you know, something like that. Or harmless, but, oh, he broke the regulative principles, you know. So he gave that example. And so he would talk about accidental fall down from our vows in spiritual life. And so quickly the devotee becomes righteous, becomes rectified. So that seems to be the idea. Now there was I don't know if you know, that some years ago some devotee killed another devotee who had an affair with his wife. And he had to drive some distance to do that. And I heard this, I don't have this in writing, that devotee asked Prabhupada if this fit under this, apichet sudaratara, because he's a devotee, even though he killed this person, is it okay, basically? And Prabhupada said, no, so this is not an accidental fall down. This is, you know, like you might say, premeditated. So premeditated fall down is not exactly in that category. So anyway, it's a very difficult topic to understand, but that's the way Prabhupada presented it to us. It's the kind of thing where Prabhupada would say, don't take advantage. Now, what I find difficult about that verse is that it says, apichet sudaracha, bhajate mam ananyabhat. So bhajate mam ananyabhat means that you're a devotee of Krishna wholeheartedly, basically, is the idea. You're really a devotee, therefore if you have a little accent, then it's okay. Sapada mulam bhajata priyasya tukpanya bhava shari paresha. In the 11th canto, same idea comes up in a similar verse. It's after the verse, devarshi bhutaptraninam pritrinam. How a devotee doesn't have any obligations, he doesn't really have to perform his varnashram dharma or shraddha rites and pinda, these kinds of things. Doesn't have those obligations. Because, and then and the things that he neglects, his obligations that he neglects, they're okay. Basically, Krishna takes care of him because the devotee has taken full shelter at Krishna's lotus feet. So that's where, that's where the little bit of, you know, doubt comes in, is that, you know, am I in that status where I'm fully surrendered to Krishna? Now, in one of the commentaries, when I was discussing this verse in class, the idea in one of the commentaries was, if you accept Krishna, not any other demigod, as your Lord, that's the qualification. That's what Ananyabhak means. Your bhava, your feeling is for Krishna. And of course, we're trained for, we don't think, whoa, if I don't, I can't, like I was saying in class, who are we going to call out to? We're going to call out to Krishna, Lord Nrisimhadeva, one of Krishna's avatars. We're not going to call out, O Ganesh, please, or someone, you know, King Indra, please come with your thunderbolt and protect me. So this is also an idea with this idea of Ananyabhakti. Krishna is your worshipable Lord. And if you're in that situation, if you do something wrong temporarily, then Krishna will overlook that and he'll help you become rectified.
Let me read this first and then you can address that. There are three edits. Read this first?
You're reading what's on here?
Yeah, that's three. No, I'm reading here separately.
Oh, that's different from what's on here?
Yeah. One from Mother Ekadasi. Uttara is referred to as a student of a great devotee because she was a Arjuna's pupil. Arjuna was teaching her.
Oh, okay. That's a good point. Yeah, I guess, what did it say? Oh, guru. Yeah, well, guru means teacher. What does it say? Student of a great devotee.
Okay. Mother Nanda.
Oh, because Arjuna was teaching, but he was teaching her to dance. Right? He was teaching her to dance. So I can imagine Arjuna, muscular warrior, teaching ballet. I don't know. Whatever it was. Bart, not to.
Mother Nanda is giving some comment. Krishna protected you from the dogs by sending the people in the car. He protects our consciousness by giving us the association of devotees. is giving protection, but we have the tendency to think, oh, the people came by chance, Krishna sent them. If we look for Krina's protection, I think Kornas, I'm not sure what that means, Krina's protection, we will see it, but if we don't look for Krishna's, Krishna's protection.
Yeah.
We will see it, but if we don't look for Krishna's kind hand guiding our lives, we won't see it.
Mm-hmm.
This is another one from Mother Vishnupriya. Great point, Nanda Prabhu. We have to look for his mercy, protection and presence in our lives always. Now is a question.
So she's referring to the,
Question from Mother Agatmika. If Krishna is protecting us spiritually, how is it that the devotee fall away from devotional service? Does it mean that Krishna is guiding that devotee through their darkness?
Well, it seems like the answer would be we're rejecting Krishna. It's up to us. We're turning away from Krishna. We're rejecting his protection. Just like a child doesn't want the parents' protection for various reasons. Just like teenagers, what do? They tend to rebel. So they're not going to get the same kind of hands-on, close supervision that the young child gets who's fully dependent. And they can also get in trouble. So that can happen to us. We're not thinking, we may think that we don't need Krishna's protection now. We're safe. We're advanced devotees. And then we're not careful, and then Krishna can say, okay, you're on your own. Of course, we know that Krishna never lets go ultimately. He'll give us some rain, but ultimately he's always there and he'll do things to bring us back. In fact, that may happen over many lifetimes. We go through different things in life and somehow or other we end up again in the association of devotees. That's Krishna. Krishna's doing that. As Mary, you hear devotees, how they became devotees. So often they may have some reason, explanation, but it tends to be somewhat mystical, you might say. You can't really. I mean, I know myself. It's like I came from really nowhere, you might say, to immediately taking up Krishna consciousness. I had no real spiritual background. I mean, of course, I was raised as a Catholic, but when I came to Krishna consciousness, I stopped at McDonald's on the way. I put out a cigarette on the temple steps. And it's not like I was on a long search either. I was just starting to read some things, and we weren't exactly spiritual, they were more psychological. But then, boom, as soon as I met the devotees, and the next day I was following the requisite principles. So I think, I can say, I heard the philosophy and I was convinced, but, really? I think there must be something else involved there. So I think that happens to devotees. Krishna protects us. I don't want to brag and say I was a devotee in my last life. Who knows? It could be just the Lord's causeless mercy. But there do seem to be indications like that in devotees' lives. Krishna made it happen somehow or other.
There are three texts. You can take from the top.
From the top?
Yeah, you can just read.
The first one says, whatever it is. I agree. We pray to Krishna. Oh, you already read this one.
No, you have to open it.
Oh, I see. I'm really cell phone challenged, I have to say. Hare Krishna, Mother. Oh. No, that's a different one. Oh, the bottom one? Full surrender, accepting Krishna's plan, whatever it is. Okay, yeah, right, exactly. That's what full surrender is. We pray to Krishna for protection, but the only protection he guarantees is protection for our spiritual being. Yet our instinctive prayer to him in danger is to protect us in our conditional state. And if one is really advanced, he adds, if you like. So we say, Krishna, please protect me, I'm going to get killed here, if you like. Or he prays to remain, the devotee prays, to remain his servant. And 99% of the time, that is not our mentality, just help, save me from this danger. Which is, that's our situation. We're going to act according to the our level of consciousness. Kilananda Prabhu, Hare Krishna. From yesterday's class, were there other references of Vyasadeva meeting Krishna? Well, I don't know, yesterday's class.
Maybe you can answer.
Vyasadeva meeting Krishna, I don't know. Off the top of my head, I don't know. In the Mahabharata, I think he appears on the scene in different places. But I'm not an expert on the Mahabharata or anything else for that matter.
There is a comment by a devotee, Trivikram, for anyone of your future safety, if a dog or dogs are chasing, never run or walk. Just stand still. They back off and go away. This is a fact. Wow.
Yeah, these dogs weren't going away. Actually, I heard you're supposed to keep facing them. You don't look them in the eye and you walk away slowly. That's what I heard. But I tried that and it wasn't working. Krishna sent someone in the car. All right. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Thank you.